things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Egypt continues to dominate the medals table at the 13th African Games in Ghana. As of 1600 UTC Monday, Team Egypt had tallied 156 medals, including 91 gold. Team Nigeria was next with 78 medals, including 27 gold. Host Ghana was in sixth position with 46 medals, including 9 gold. Team Ghana is optimistic of winning medals in athletics, which gets underway Monday evening. Yawafusu Larbi has this preview for us from Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana's fastest man, Benjamin Asamati, is hopeful of a good tournament here in Accra at the African Games. Asamati ran a time of 9.90 seconds years back to become the national 100-meter record holder. However, he has yet to win an individual competitive medal for the country. He has had some close shaves at the Olympics, at the Commonwealth Games, the Diamond League, and many more. But this could be his biggest moment yet, and he's expecting a great performance in Accra. With Olympic qualification at stake here, Asamati wants to hit the ground running.
Running a good time here qualifies you for the Olympic Games, of course. Though it's still early in March, I mean, my coach and I still looked at, you know, qualifying for the Olympic Games here. So you take that burden off you, and then, you know, everything you do is going to be a preparation towards the Olympic Games. So, of course, as you said, I have one eye for that, and I'm looking forward to doing it here.
The University of Ghana Stadium feels like home for Benjamin Asamati. It was where he learned to hone his skills and get better at a sport that has given him a lot of recognition worldwide. A few years ago, he was a student who walked the streets of the university and won big for them at the All-Africa University Games. Now back at the newly built stadium, this feels like a homecoming for the man.
It feels good. I mean, it's always exciting to be able to run in front of a home crowd. And last time I did that was in 2020 in the Gusa Games. So coming back and having to run in front of the whole nation, I think is very good and very exciting. And I can't wait to say, looking forward to that.
The home crowd will spur many of the big guns on when the athletics begin at the African Games. None more so than Joseph Paul Amoah, who won bronze in the 200-meter race at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham 2 years ago.
All the Ghanaian athletes have a dream, which is to make our nation proud whenever we put on the uniform. So getting the medal was like, it kind of like set the tone for myself and then my teammates as well, that hey, it don't matter where we're from, you know, we could go out there every time we have a competition and try to make the podium to lift the flag of Ghana high.
The medal win 2 years ago may be a big achievement now, but to him, a better crowning moment will be to win it here. And the home crowd will be the biggest motivation to push harder.
The last time I ran here was 2016. And, you know, to come home, to run in front of our home fans, it's just an amazing feeling. I can't wait to, you know, step on the track and then use their fans and their support to, you know, boost myself on the home stretch. Like every time, I'm just going to make sure that every time that I hear something, I hear the crowd cheering, I'm going to use it for myself.
The athletics team is not just led by Benjamin Asamati and Joseph Paul Amoah. There's a long jumper, Abraham Saneke, who's coming through the ranks. This will be his first African Games, and he's relishing the moment.
It's a great feeling to be back out here, especially Ghana, to compete in my first African Games, and also being part of Team Ghana for the first time. And the opportunity to compete at home is just surreal, man. It just feels great to be back home and compete in front of home crowd, the university where I competed in Gusa Games and African University Games. So it's a great feeling to be back.
Team Ghana won gold in the 4x100 relay race in Rabat in 2019, and the team will be looking to defend their title as the fastest relay team on the continent. A lot of it, though, will hinge on teamwork and the will to do more. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Meanwhile, the communication officer for the Ghana Boxing Federation, Jojo Epson, says he believes his country's fighters have an excellent chance of winning medals this week at the African Games.
10 of Ghanaian boxers are still in contention, with 6 going out. As it stands now, with a good performance and a draw and pairing, 4 of Ghana's boxing team members are in the semifinals, going to slot it out against their respective opponent for a place in the finals for either silver or gold. So as it stands now, there are 4 black bombers, including Abu Kamoko, who is fighting at a cruiserweight, 86 kilograms, and actually the son of the sensational Bukum Banku, who also won bronze in the 1999 version of the African Games held in South Africa.
Elsewhere at the African Games, Muslim athletes say they're coping with Ramadan fasting requirements. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Accra, Ghana. Sporty African Games greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty African Games greetings, Sonny. Abdulkarim Ridwan and Olushola Sholari are two members of Nigerian cricket national team at the ongoing 13th African Games in Ghana. The athletes, who are Muslims, say they have adjusted their bodies to cope with the fasting period during the Ramadan. Muslims in the world began the Ramadan fasting on March 11. The period requires that all Muslims who are not sick should fast for 30 days. Abdulkarim says it has not been easy for him playing games during the Ramadan.
Yeah, it has not been easy. I just have to comply with it because I've been doing it before, so it's normal for us. That's it.
What has it been like, at least playing in the field with empty tummy and then coming back to rest?
Yeah, it's not easy, so I just have to take water and pour water on myself and just to keep my body hydrated as well.
How many more games do you have to play?
We have 4 games to play now.
Sure you can cope with them?
Yes, I will.
Olushola Sholari says his mind is committed to fasting to avoid any distraction.
To me, it's not been easy, but it's what I've been used to, fasting while playing games.
Out there in the field, what is it like?
Sometimes it's quite tough, but you just have to put a strong mind into it, and since you're chasing something, so you have other things to distract you.
Okay, your message to follow Muslims who are also fasting and then representing their country?
To me, if they believe, definitely they can do it. So it's have to be a strong mind before you can fast while playing games.
Olympio Sheyeye, a Muslim and an assistant coach, Nigeria's national cricket team, says the players are trying their best, combining fasting and playing the game.
Well, to be honest, it's been quite tiring because of the nature of our sports. Cricket, it's a longer duration and also it's played at a higher intensity. But the guys have been managing, they are coping well, but I don't know how long, truth be told, because when the game gets hotter, I don't know if they will be able to continue, but they are trying.
Bijan Moganlu, head coach, Egypt national taekwondo teams, says the Ramadan fasting is difficult for his athletes because it requires energy.
The Ramadan in the Muslim very important, but everybody the fasting, but this competition, all the Muslim has the fasting. But the Muslim management, the energy for the competition is very important for athletes, but it's not very simple, it's very hard. But everybody, they like the fasting. It's very difficult because my sport need more energy, but very speed. But it's very important. My athletes like it. They like it, this matter, because they believe the God. This point very important for the Muslim.
The athletes and officials say they are committed to Ramadan fasting and have already adjusted their bodies to cope with the African Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana.
Thanks, Iron Mike. Iron Mike also had a chance to talk with Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sports, Mustafa Usup, about the African Games.
So far, we are super excited that we are hosting the entire African continent here, and the competition is ongoing, and the athletes are enjoying themselves and competing. We are very, very hopeful that these games is going to be very successful. For it will be the best African Games.
What's Ghana's position as of today?
Ghana is on the safe position as of today, and we are working to see by the close of the tournament, the games, we'll see. Ghana will go.
The equipment, the facilities that you have, what is the policy? How are you going to maintain them and keep them going?
I stated that we are going to have a university for sports for development. We also have a maintenance policy for all the equipment, and we are going to work very closely with the Federation to ensure that we position them and utilize them for future competitions and training.
And then the future of the athletes that are, you know, being groomed now.
I mentioned that they are going to, those who are going to be identified, the athletes that are going to be identified with the huge potential, we are going to make sure that they will take good care of them. We invest in them to reach the highest level.
You talked about adopting athletes policy.
Adopt the athlete initiative like my colleague Sunday Dara did.
Can you throw more light on it, sir?
Did. Where we get corporate institutions, multinational institutions, and individual like you to adopt one athlete so that you sponsor him and get the person to get to the highest level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, finally, message to Ghanaians on the last game.
All Ghanaians, we are calling all Ghanaians to support us, support us to get this game concluded on a very good note.
That's Mustafa Usuf, Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sports, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The sun is setting on the sunny side of sports. I'm retiring from The Voice of America after nearly 36 years here. My final show is March 27th. Rose Akpawan sent me a nice Facebook message from Abuja, Nigeria. Rose writes, "Wow! Congratulations, Sonny, on your upcoming retirement. I have followed you right from my childhood up till now. Meeting you in Abuja was the best thing that happened to me. Yes, I met Rose in Abuja in 2014, and it's one of the many nice memories I'll be taking with me into retirement." In professional golf, world number one Scottie Scheffler has made history in winning the Players' Championship in Ponte Vedra, Florida. George McNeely reports from Ponte Vedra.
What a phenomenal finish here at TPC Sawgrass. Scottie Scheffler began Sunday's final round 5 shots back and overcame a nagging neck injury to become the first to defend the Players' Championship in its 50-year history. The world number one and winner of last week's Arnold Palmer Invitational fired an 8-under par 64 in racking up his 8th career PGA Tour victory.
Yeah, it's good to be sitting back here again. You know, today was another battle. It was a hard-fought week. You know, a lot of guys played some really good golf this week. You know, a few of them finished at 19. I finished at 20. That's some really good golf around this course. I really don't know what to say, to be honest with you.
Scheffler completed his final round, and then he hit the driving range, while Brian Harman, Xander Schauffele, and Wyndham Clark would each tie for second place one shot back. All three missed putts that would have forced the playoff. Harman, the reigning Open champion, was first to the 18th hole and went a bit wide on his 17-footer for birdie. Schauffele, who started the day with a one-shot lead, would miss a 60-footer. Then Clark, the defending U.S. Open winner, well, he describes his 20-foot heartbreaker.
It was coming with some speed, too. I don't know how that putt doesn't go in. It was you know, kind of right center with, I feel like, a foot to go, and I knew it was going to keep breaking, but it had speed, and thought I was going to go inside left, and then even when it kind of seemed to lip, I thought it would lip in. So, I mean, I'm pretty gutted it didn't go in.
Wyndham Clark, a co-runner-up with Xander Schauffele and Brian Harman, while Scottie Scheffler went 11 under par over his final 21 holes and finds himself in need of a rest.
Playing the back-to-back weeks is challenging. You know, being at the top of the leaderboard last weekend, this week is it's a real test mentally and physically. And you know, this week was a physical test as well. You know, just with how my neck was Friday and Saturday, and so I put a lot into trying to win this golf tournament. It's very, very satisfying to be walking out here with the trophy.
Scheffler, who collects a first place prize of $4.5 million, became the eighth multiple winner of the Players and first since Tiger Woods did so 11 years ago. With two each, only three-time winner Jack Nicklaus has more. The PGA Tour's Florida swing shifts to Tampa Bay and the Valspar Championship in the coming week. From the Players Championship at PGA Tour headquarters in Ponte Vedra, Florida, I'm George McNeely. For the Sunny Side of Sports.
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, Muckbill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Let's tip off with the Men's Basketball Africa League. FUS Rabat beat the Cape Town Tigers 84-75 in Pretoria on Sunday to top the Kalahari Conference. What did you think of the Moroccan club, Muckbill?
Phenomenal team, Sonny. What a start to the tournament. What an introduction to the season. To have a team literally be their first go around in this amazing league, and for them
debutant
to really dominate the conference, man. They came out, they have, so much depth, so much talent. It seems to me like this is a collective team effort. You know, when you got somebody like a Jonathan Jordan, who really puts that team together, he's that general that they have, and then they have the youth in Aliou Diarra just handing out double-doubles.
Another double-double on Sunday.
Amazing, man. I really liked what this team did from the very first game they came out, and they've kind of cruised the entire conference.
So FUS Rabat is through to the BAL playoffs. What about the final standings, Muckbill?
So at the moment, you have FUS de Rabat at the top slot. They are 3-1 in their four games. Then we have Petro de Luanda, Big Petro, they're 2-2. And then we have the Cape Town Tigers in that third slot that have one win and three losses. Now, we got to talk about the fact that this conference has three teams and not four, because the Dynamo Basketball Club, unfortunately, have been disqualified from the Kalahari Conference after not abiding by the rules set up with the BAL initially.
An unfortunate turn of circumstances, Muckbill, but I really thought Dynamo could have gone through based on that opening game they played.
Honestly speaking, the saddest part about it for everyone really is the fact that these players, the coaching staff, really, this wasn't a call from them, right? This was a call from higher powers, right?
Yes.
You know, in Burundi. So for them, I really feel bad for them, because you saw their road to the BAL, what they had to overcome in order to make it this far. And then you have young players, man. A player like a Israel Otobo, Nigerian man, 19,
very impressive,
19-year-old young man, phenomenal player. He was their leading scorer in that first game that they actually ended up winning. You know, what happens to players like that? You know what I mean, Sonny? So sometimes it's very unfortunate. Obviously, we understand, you know, rules are rules, but I really feel bad for the players.
MUCBIL, the Basketball Africa League, is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Sunday, two big buzzer-beating shots. Let's begin with Kyrie Irving, MUCBIL. Tell our Sunnyside of Sports listeners about Kyrie's heroics.
Sonny, if I'm just going off of what I saw in that game, especially in the last moments of that game, the Dallas Mavericks were able to edge out the Denver Nuggets 107-105. Kyrie Irving gets the ball in the corner, and he has Nikola Jokic on him. Kyrie, you know, may be listed at 6'3", 6'4". On a good day, he really might be 6'2", right? Then you've got Nikola Jokic, a seven-footer.
Yeah, almost a foot taller.
A foot taller than him. And he's chasing him, Sonny. He's chasing him. He's going off of 1 foot. Left-handed, dare I call it a skyhook hybrid floater. And, man, that thing is nothing but net.
Unbelievable shot, bro.
One of the best game-winning buzzer beaters I've seen in a really long time. You know, Kyrie's teammate, Luka, looked over in dismay, was just kind of like covered his face like, wow, like I'm a magician, but I got a magician on my team too. I don't think anybody wants to play the Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs, bro.
Yeah, I got to believe if Kyrie Irving can keep it up, MUCBIL, they're going to be a really tough team in the playoffs.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
Another buzzer beater, Bam Adebayo. Bam, bam, bam. Talk about Bam, MUCBIL.
Sonny, what can I say about Bam? 20 points to finish off the game with 17 rebounds. What a double-double, almost 20-20. The game was at 101-101. You know, it's unfortunate it happened to the Detroit Pistons. This young team has had such a, man, they've had so many things happen for them on the wrong side. Just a bit of unluckiness for them this season. But, man, Bam comes down and literally, what, takes maybe a step or two after half and just lets it fly.
Yeah, he was way outside that three-point arc.
Way beyond the arc, man. Almost, what's that, Steph and Dame Lillard territory? He let it go. Cash, bro. And when I really looked at that, I'm thinking to myself, man, Bam, Bam. Goodness gracious. What, you know, this is the time that the Miami Heat really start clicking. And it's very interesting to see what they're able to do, man. So shout out to Bam Bam and the Miami Heat for getting that big, big win against the Detroit Pistons. Keeps them in that seventh place slot in the East right now.
Well, that game took place in Dallas, Texas. Let's stay in Texas, MUCBIL. Wemby, the Wemby watch. Wemby leads the San Antonio Spurs to a 122-115 win in overtime over the Brooklyn Nets. And MUCBIL, you were showing me some of the highlights from that game. Wemby is just phenomenal.
Sonny, just listen to this. Just listen to this line for me, all right? 33 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks.
Wow. Wow.
Wembanyama. You know, honestly speaking, Sonny, when I'm looking at Wemby play, we spoke about this when he first got drafted. We said, look, he has all the things that are needed for him to be great. But we didn't think that it was going to turn around and he was going to be able to show us this level of class this fast. It seems to me like this young man has not only the physical abilities, but the mentality to want to be great on both sides of the floor. He's, you know, he always does these yoga routines and he stretches, so he's kind of limber, if that's the word for it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's quite limber.
You know?
Quite limber.
And then he has the movements and the handle of a guard, shooting the three ball really well. So there's nothing that he really can't do on that basketball floor. It's just a pleasure to watch.
I mean, you have maybe the tallest player in the NBA, or right up there, you know, doing behind-the-back dribbles.
Wow.
Passes
step back,
all over the
step
place.
Step back three-pointers. He hit a player with a similar move that Kyrie did to him earlier on the season. So this also shows you that he's a, you know, somewhat of a film freak. So what he's doing is, soon as he plays games, he goes in and watches and studies, and he's doing this mid-game or mid-season adjustments to make sure that, you know, he has everything in his repertoire. It's just been amazing to watch this young man go.
Mukbil, I know we talked about Wemby before the NBA season even tipped off, and he's really exceeded my expectations.
Absolutely. You know, another young rookie, you know, Chet has also been playing phenomenal, but it just goes to show you that, you know, earlier on the season that we were, like, looking at it from a 1A, 1B perspective, but at the moment, it seems to me like Wemby's running away with it.
Taking a look at the NBA standings, Mukbil, the Celtics still have the league's best record. But what is it? What does the playoff picture look like? With, I guess we have a few weeks left in the regular season.
Absolutely, Sonny. If we're looking at the play-in tournament, which starts and will last across 3 days between April 16th and the 19th, the actual playoffs will start on the 20th. So the play-in tournament right now as it stands will be teams 7 versus team 8 and team 9 versus team 10 on both the East Coast and the West Coast. If we're looking at the West Coast picture, it'll be the Dallas Mavericks versus the Suns right now. So you're looking at Kyrie and Luka versus KD, Book and Bradley.
Great matchup.
Unreal. Wow. Matchup. You know, from a fan perspective, I love it. Then on the other side, the 9th versus the 10th, you got Steph Curry and Co. versus LeBron and the team. That's another one.
Oh, you're, goodness.
It's like, what did we do to deserve all this great basketball so early? And on the east side, we
And these aren't even really the full-fledged playoffs.
This is not even the playoffs. It's just the play-in, Sonny. We have on the other side the Miami Heat versus the 76ers in that 7th and 8th spot, and the Chicago Bulls versus the Atlanta Hawks. Man, unbelievable play-in. So the way that the play-in works right quickly is that 7th versus 8th game, whoever wins goes on and becomes the automatic 7th seed, right? Then whoever loses has potential, because they're ranked higher, to go and play up against the winner of the 9th versus the 10th team. So if you're in that 7th, 8th slot, you have two chances, basically two games. You win and you're automatically through, or you play a second game and you play the winner of that 9th versus 10th. If you're 9th or 10th, you got one game. Go home. If you lose, it's a do-or-die type of situation for you.
Mukbil, I remember last year, the Heat, they started out in the play-in tournament, kept winning, made it all the way to the NBA Finals before losing to the Nuggets. Are the Heat, again, a team you don't want to play in the playoffs?
I don't think anybody naturally wants to play against them. Similarly, just because they are such a gritty team, and once they start gaining momentum, it can start getting bad for any team. So I think you want to stay away from them. If it's anybody on the East, I'm pretty sure everybody's rooting for the 76ers to get out of that play-in game. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, interesting thing. At the moment, we have the Celtics, number one spot in the East, and the Thunder in that number one spot in the West. Wow. Two young teams.
Wow, indeed. It should be a great upcoming NBA playoffs. Thanks to my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to Mukbil for his production duties this evening. And thanks to engineer Bill Andrade. Finally, thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Wow.
I get it.